Thank you very much for coming. I'm sure you're all very busy, and so it's always a good excuse to be here. Reverend Simon reminded me it was around this time last year that I was here. So it's a big excuse to be here, and I figured Hanukkah's around the corner, as we know. So I wanted to speak about the concept of Hanukkah as it relates to kosher malzeh. And it's really, the discussion is more of a hashkafa discussion with halakhic references. However, if after we finish, if you'd like to ask any practical questions regarding Hanukkah, we can do that as well. In the various Svarim, Hanukkah is known as the Yontif of Torah Shebal Peh. It's the holiday of Torah Shebal Peh. Gedal Yishor has in his Sefer, others as well. Now, if somebody would ask you why should Hanukkah assume the title of the Yontif of Torah Shebal Peh? What would you think? Right, it's the first celebration or Yontif that's not written in Tanakh. It's not in the Tanakh. It's Purim. It's in Tanakh, but Hanukkah is not in Tanakh. Is not. It could be various Ramazim and things like that. But the concept of the Nes Hanukkah and celebrating Hanukkah, etc., is not something that's in the Chamisha Chumshei Torah, nor is it in the Nevi'im or the Ksuvim. And hence, it is referred to as the Yontif of Torah Shebal Peh. In fact, the Netziv writes that in the Mishkan, you know, there were various Kelim. There was the Shulchan, there was the Mizbeach, and two of the Kelim, the Netziv writes this in the beginning of Parshas Tetzaveh, two of the Kelim in the Mikdash refer to the concept of Torah, Talmud Torah, learning Torah, etc. Would anyone want to try to guess what are the two of the Kelim?
The Menorah and the Aron.
The Menorah and the Aron. Good. Excellent. The Menorah and the Aron. Those are the two Kelim in the Mikdash that have a connection to Torah and learning Torah. So why do we need two of these? Caleb? Torah Shem Ksavatah, and which is which? Right. How do you know that? The Luchos are in the Aron, right? The Luchos are in the Aron. That's Torah Shem. And the menorah is the Torah Or, the illuminary, and then we understand that Hanukkah also ties in, the Or of Hanukkah is also that Or of Torah Shebal Peh. And in fact, there's a very fascinating idea that's brought down in the Alshich. We know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Klal Yisrael certain gifts, certain matanos. The man, the be'er, right? There was various gifts of Klal Yisrael. And Al-Shech says that the man, even though it was a physical thing that was eaten, is connected to Torah Shevach Sav, and the Be'er was connected to Torah Shebal Peh. How so? Because the man was what? A very finite gift that was given on a weekly basis. Right? You got a certain measure, right, the Torah tells us, of man. Torsha B'Chsav is finite. You can't add a word, a letter, right? If the Sefer Torah would be, you know, we'd add it a little bit, we'll subtract a little bit, the Torah won't be kosher. It's finite. It's defined. That's the mon. That's Torsha B'Chsav. The Be'er is what? That's a well. A well is what? Is a spring, which gushes with water, keeping, you dig and dig, and there's water comes from the ground, and there's no end to that. You can keep digging and digging, and the water keeps coming and coming, and that's Torsha Baal Peh. Because Torsha Baal Peh is not a finite concept. It's something that's Parah V'Rava. In other words, Chazal were given the instruments, what's called what? The Yud Gimel Midos Shatorah Nedreshes B'Hem. The principles that we can derive more and more halachas from the Torah. It's not like you have to have a Masorah, you know, how to do it. We don't necessarily derive, but, and then the whole Gemara is, and the Mishnayos are discussions of what halachas we can learn from this extra letter and this extra word. It's an infinite process. It's Parah V'Rava. So that's why the Al-Sheikh says that the Mon was Keneged Torah Shebaksav and the Be'er is Neged Torah Shebaal Peh. And in fact, the Rabbeinu B'Chaya in Parshas Bo before we get to that, one other point is we know that the Torah, Baruch Hashem, we just celebrated a couple of weeks ago my son's bar mitzvah. So we were spending a whole year practicing the laning. So it wouldn't have been much easier if every Sefer Torah, you would have the Nekudos and the Ta'amim in the Torah. That would make things much easier. But the halacha is, if you have a Torah that has the Ta'amim and the Nekudos in it, then what? It's an invalid Torah. Why? Because the Radvaz explains that the Torah has many interpretations to each word. And if we would put the Nekudos and the Ta'amim in, then we would be locking it in to one interpretation. This way, we dafka have to have the flexibility that the Torah Shebaal Peh could go ahead and what? And have a multitude of explanations of each word. That doesn't mean, again, that everyone can just read into the Chumash anything they want. I mean, we have a tradition. That's why we have the Mishnah and the Gemara. That's our tradition of what the things that are expanding in the Torah Shebaal Peh. It's not just a free-for-all. But the point is, says the Radvaz, if we would have, you know, the Torah, the scroll of the Chumash, and put in the Nekudos and the Trap and this, it would make it that this is the one way to read it, and this is the only way to read it, and that would undermine the principle that Torah Baal Peh can expand the understanding of each and every word in the Chumash, and therefore that would make the Chumash invalid. There's a famous pasuk in Chumash. It's probably the most famous pasuk in Chumash, namely what? Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe le'emor. So the Rabbeinu Bechaya in Parshas Bo explains, there are many explanations of what this, like we just said before, there are many explanations in the in what the Chumash means. But Rabbi Yochai has a fascinating explanation of what does it mean by the simple pasuk, by Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe Lemor. Some interpret it to mean Hashem said to Moshe Lemor to tell others, to tell over to the Jewish people. But the Rabbi Yochai gives another explanation. He says the following, that Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe Lemor means when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu, he gave it with the Torah Shemichsav on every mitzvah, and he added interpretations, the Torah Shebalpeh. So Vidaber, Dibor, what is Dibor? Lashon Kasha. Why? Why do you mean Lashon Kasha? Because it's very finite. There's no flexibility. It's this amount of words, this amount of letters, etc. Very exact. That's Tosha Iksaf. And Lemor is what? Is Amira. Amira is Lashon Lat Raka. Because that's the pliability. The fact that the Torah can expand. It can have multiple interpretations to many of the Psukim. So that's what it means. Vayidaber Hashem El Moshe Lemor. That Hashem gave the Torah, both the Torah Shebichsav to Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's by Dibor, and Lemor, the Torah Shebalpeh. In fact, there is a pasuk in Tehillim, which is interpreted in this way as well. His interpretation by the Gra and by the Baruch Tam, the Baruch Tom and Frankel. I think you're related to. So, what's the pasuk? So, what's the biggest capital in Tehillim? Is which one? Kuf Yud Tes. So it's sin. Pasuk says like this. Sorim radfuni chinam midvarcha pachad libi. Sas anochi al ibrasecha kibotze shalom rav. Okay? So again, sorim radfuni chinam, that's the sins, because each kuf yud tes, you have a whole aleph base eight times, right? In every aleph. Okay? So the sins, sorim radfuni chinam, Midvarcha pachad libi, sas anochi al ibrasecha kibotze shalom rav. Which means like this. Sorim, so who's speaking? So David HaMelech is speaking. And he's saying, Sorim, the generals, Rathfuni, they pursued me. Why did they pursue David HaMelech? Who was that? Doeg, Achitofel, they pursued him. Why did they pursue him? Because they were saying that David HaMelech is not legit. Because he comes from what? He comes from Rus, from Moab. And therefore, he's not allowed to marry into the Jewish people. So, David is saying, the Sarim Radfuni, they pursued me. They wanted to get me out of the Jewish family. But it was chinam. It was for naught. Why? So he says like this. Ubidvarcha pachad libi. So the Gra and the Baruch Tam say, Bidvarcha pachad libi. What does that mean? From the perspective of what? Torah Shebichsav, I was afraid that maybe they were right. Why? Because the Torah Shebichsav says what? That Vayavo Amoni Umoavi. Where is that pasuk? The Parshas. The Parshas. Half the mitzvahs of the Torah are Parshas Kiseitse. So if you just get Parshas Kiseitse, you're already. Okay? Right? In Parshas Kisavim, all the heifers are kedoshim. So, Sarim, Bidvarcha, and from the perspective of Toshe Mechsav, what? Pachad libi. I was afraid that maybe they're right. But what do we know? What does the Gemara tell us? That it's only from the male. Moavi velo Moavis, and he was only descended from the Rus, from the female. So what does this mean? So let's see the whole pasuk. Sarim radfuni chinam doeg and Achitofel, the generals pursuing me because I don't have a good ancestry. Ubidvarcha pachad libi, and from the dibur, from what? From the Torah shebichsav, I was what? I was very nervous, but what? Sas anochi al imrasecha kimotze l'olzorov. What gave me the happiness? Al what? Imrasecha. What's imrasecha? Lemor. That's the what? Amira. That's what? Torah shebal peh. Because the Torah shebal peh darshins that you don't say Moavi, the male, but Moavi v'lo, Moavi is only the male, not the the female descendant, and therefore, Sasa Nochi, Alim Rasecha, Timotze L'Torov. And those are the Dibur and the Amir. The Sefer Pachad Yitzchak, written by Rav Hutner Zatzal, his first mimer, the Sefer, discusses the famous Gemara Gittin, Daf Samach, which says that Lo Koras HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bris im Klal Yisrael, Ela B'Torah Shebal Peh. Whereas the covenant, which means the unique relationship, that we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is only through Torah Shebal Peh. Why so? Because the Torah Shebichsav, that's written down. If it's written down, then other nations could copy, which they've done. They could copy, they could have their own Bibles, etc. But the Torah, but the Torah Shebal Peh is an oral tradition. And what's the reason for that? Because if it's oral, so then what? It's sort of like a secret. Like it's not written down. It's our oral tradition that we have with the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that's what it means. The footnote explains the Gemara in Gittin on Daf Samach, Lo Koras HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bris in Klal Yisrael, El what? Al Torah Shebal Peh. Because that's the unique covenant that we have with the Ribbono Shel Olam is through the oral tradition, is Torah Shebal Peh. And that's, says Rav Hutner, was what Chanukah was all about. Because Chanukah was what we call a Shas Hashmad. It was a time where the Yevanim made decrees upon the Jewish people and trying to have us assimilate into their culture. And it's interesting, you know, normally you give your life, right? What are the halachas? A person has to give their life for the three averis, right? For Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, and Shemichas Damim. Right? Only those three. We say Yarav Lal Yavor, that you should rather get killed than transgress one of these three sins, these cardinal averis. But it's interesting, as Shas Hashmad, when we're in a time where there are decrees against the Jewish people's observance, then what? What's the halacha? Even what? Arkas of the Masani. Even what? The color of the shoestrings, meaning if the non-Jews wear a certain color, we have to wear a different color. In other words, so we shouldn't assimilate. Even, and what's the idea, says Rav Huna? It seems so silly. I should have to give my life for shoestrings? I can understand the three Averes, but the idea is, if it's in the Shas HaShmad, where the whole point is to try to get, which was the decrees of Hanukkah, that we were not allowed to, you know, Shabbos and different things that we were, there were decrees against the Jewish people, so then we have to be strong to maintain our identity. And that's called the Shas HaShmad. And even on something that might be viewed as, you know, somewhat trivial, is very significant. Because we have to keep our tradition. We have to keep our tradition. Our uniqueness. That's why we know that there's a halacha of B'chukosein lo seilechu, that we're not allowed to follow non-Jewish practices. Maybe we can leave that for later, but that's an important idea. But we know that today the Torah Shabbat Al-Peh is written down, right? We have Gemaras, we have things that are written down. Because what? The Gemara says, Eis la'asol shel Hashem, eferu sorasecha, that we're afraid that if we don't write it down, it's going to get lost. So therefore, there was a heter given to what? To write it down. But Rav Huna writes in that mimer, we have a concept, if you ever learn Mishnayos with the Gemara, so there's a concept called Chasuri Mechsera, the Hakikatani, which means like this. You learn a Mishnah, and then the Gemara interprets the Mishnah in a way where the only way you can interpret the Mishnah is assuming that there was a line left out here, and a couple of words left out here, and a couple of words left out here, and that's the interpretation of the Mishnah. Now, that's very peculiar. You know, if I would be writing a Sefer, and I would leave out a half a line here and a half a line there, you know, people would say, well, what is he doing? It's ridiculous. Who writes something leaving out words? So Rav Huna said very beautifully. He said, sometimes you have a halacha, but because of the circumstances, there's an onus. So you can't fulfill it. But Torah Shabbat, so what are you going to tell me? Torah Shebaal Peh has to be, that's our covenant with the Ribbono Shel Olam, has to be Baal Peh. So if we give it up, this halacha, then we're going to give up our unique relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam. So that you can't just, it's not a something that this halacha could be what? Could be done away with. But it had to be in a certain way because we were going to lose it ourselves. So what was the pshara? The pshara was write it down, but leave it ambiguous so the person who has learned it will understand that this statement means you have to add three words here, another three words, because there's enough to remind you. But still, the covenant will remain, because if you don't have the tradition of what's missing, you won't be able to understand it. So that was the way to preserve the integrity of Torah Shebaal Peh, that it should be our unique relationship. On the other hand, to make sure that it's not forgotten. So write it down, but sort of like in a code. And that's the concept of what Rav Huna explains, of Chasuri Mechsera. The Hachikatani means, Chasuri Mechsera means there's something chaser, there's something missing, the Gemara says. In this Mishnah, there's something missing, and therefore, the way to interpret it is you have to add in this word, this word, this word, and now you'll be able to interpret it properly. Because a heter to write down Torah Shebaal Peh can't be just a blanket heter, because then we're going to lose the integrity of Torah Shebaal Peh, which is the integrity of our unique relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam. We said before, a very interesting thing, that the core of Torah Shebaal Peh is what? Is the Yud Gimel Midos Shatorah Nidreshes Bahem. Those are the 13 principles. If we come to shul early enough, we could actually say anything of Rabbi Shmuel. If we don't, then we won't. But, right, it's a Kal Vachomer, it's a Rashava, right? Different principles. Like, for example, the Gemara tells us about, tefillin, that tefillin are between our eyes, and that's the same. And it says the word korcha, beinenecha, by tefillin, and beinenecha doesn't mean between your eyes, it means the hairline. And when the Gemara says, when the pasuk says that you're not allowed to pull out hair, if God forbid someone loses a relative, so there's mourning, but there can't be excessive mourning. And the pasuk says that you can't take a razor and start cutting your skin because you're so distraught, because that's too much. Why is that too much? The Ramban explains that's too much because we believe that even if God forbid somebody dies, it's only the physical body that's not here, but the neshama is eternal. And therefore, that's why the avelus has to be limited. Because if it wouldn't be limited, then we would be denying our belief in the eternity of the neshama. But the question is, what's it referring to? The hair that you can't rip out. So the Gemara says that gezeira shava beinecha from korcha, from pulling out hair, and from tefillin, and we equate the two to see where it's referring to, not referring to between the eyes, but it's referring to the by the hairline as well. And there are many ideas. So these are the 13 principles. So let me ask you a question. Does anyone want to guess where, do we have anywhere on Hanukkah the concept of 13? Where is that? Where does it say that? Right, so what's your name?
Rivka.
So Rivka says that the Mishnah Midos, right? The Mishnah Midos in the second paragraph of Midos says that what? That there were 13 holes that were pierced in the Sorig. That was a partition in the Beis HaMikdash. And it's interesting, the Mefarshim explained that partition was the partition where a non-Jew couldn't go beyond that point. So that partition represented the divide between Jews and Gentiles. And at the time of the Hashmonaim and the Ivanim, they pierced 13 what? 13 pierces, 13 holes in the Soreg, as if to say, we want to break that divide. We don't want that there should be this division between Jews and non-Jews, and that's what we say, that there was pierces, there were breaches in this partition, and some Mefarshim want to explain that the concept of 13 is the idea of what is also reminiscent of Torah Shebaal Peh, because Torah Shebaal Peh is basically the thing that makes the divide between the Jews and the Gentiles, as we said before. That's the Torah Shebaal Peh is the thing that what? That is our covenant with the Ribono Shel Olam, as part of the Gemara in the Daf Samach that we just mentioned before. In the Sefer Zichron Shmuel, he quotes, I believe, from the from one of the Hasidim Sherebis, that the word latke that we have on is symbolic or similar to a Yiddish word called latte. Do you know what a latte is? So a latte is what? It's a patch. It's a patch. That's what a latke looks like. It's a patch. So what's the idea of a patch? Is we're patching up those breaches, those 13 breaches, we're patching them up, hence we're showing that there is a divide between Klal Yisrael and Uvas Olam. Even though there can be very fine people from Uvas Olam, nonetheless, you know, we have divisions, we have halachas, that we can't have bishalakum, right? We can't eat food that was cooked by a non-Jew. There are many different halachas. Why? Because we have to, you know, the Baruch Hashem, we have very wonderful neighbors in our building, wonderful people, but we don't have meals together. You know, even though we invite a lot of people to our Shabbos table, but we don't have meals together because there has to be some limit, some divide. You know, sometimes we'll have a birthday party, we'll bring a piece of cake over to a non-Jewish neighbor, but as a, you know, as showing goodwill, but we have to have that divide, because if we don't have that divide, then, you know, then there could be intermarriage, there could be things of very important significance that could be breached as a result. So even though we respect the honorable people from Ugos Olam, but yet we also believe in that division, the wine of Goyim, the bread of Goyim, many halachas that were Chazal instituted, that there should be this divide. Doesn't mean that there has to be ill will, but there has to be a divide between Israel, Amavdil Mikol Shachom, and Israel Amim, right? We say it all the time in Havdalah. And sometimes, especially in today and age, sometimes the divide becomes blurred. Even people who are not intermarrying, but still, ideals and things that people have sometimes are not coming from Jewish sources, and not coming from, and that's something that has to be very much put in one's mind. The Sfas Emes writes that we know we have three Yogim Tovim in the Torah: Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos. And he says that parallel to these three biblical Yomim Tovim, we have three Yomim Tovim that are rabbinic nature, which parallel the two. So, how does it go? Let's take Shavuos. Shavuos is Matan Torah, right? So what's the parallel to Shavuos in the Rabbanan world? Purim. Purim is also, Kimu v'Kiblu, we receive the Torah again, and they're both one day Yantifs, right? Purim is one day, and then Shavuos, Eretz Yisrael, is one day. And what's the parallel to Sukkos? The parallel to Sukkos is Chanukah. We see that the Gemara tells us, in the opinion of Beis Shammai, when he's discussing how Rabbi Basil says the first night one candle, two candles, three candles, etc. But Beis Shammai says no, you go 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, right? In descending order, and that's learned out from where? From the Karbanos of Musaf on the Purim of Sukkos, which each day was one less. So there are connections between Purim, Sukkos was connected what? Aaron HaKohen, and not the HaKovod, were connected Aaron HaKohen. And Chanukah is all about what? Al Yidei Kohanecha Hakadoshim. So the Kohen aspect was, and we know the Mefarshim quote, the Yerachashofim quotes others that that the year that there was a gzeira not to have sukkahs, so that's why they had a Chanukah that year. Different connections, but sukkahs is also a yontif of what? Of Torah Shebal Peh. I mean, we know that on Sukkot, there was the what? The Nisach HaMayim. It wasn't usually on the Mizbeach. You have what? You have wine that's poured on the Mizbeach. But on Sukkot, it was not only wine, it was also what? It was also water. Now, it doesn't say that anywhere explicitly in the Chumash about the water. We know we have Simchas Beis HaShoeva, that means they draw the water, and their whole night they were celebrating, till the morning they poured the water on the Mizbeach. And where do we know the water from? So in Parshas Pinchas, there's an extra mem, extra yud, and an extra mem, right? On the second day of the Korbanos of Sukkot, there's an extra mem. And what? On the sixth day, there's an extra yud. And on the second day, it says the sachar. There's an extra mem niskehem, and on the sixth day there's an extra yud nisachah with a yud, and on the seventh day there's an extra mem kemishpatan. So therefore, what? That's Torah Shebal Peh, the extra remes. Mambi Yud Mem, that's Torah Shebal Peh, and that was on, and that was one of the main features of Sukkot, was Nisach HaMayim. And in fact, the Gemara says that in the time of Bayis Sheni, they had many Kohanim Gedolim who were not believers of the tradition. So they would make fun of Nisach HaMayim. Instead of pouring it on the Mizbeach, what would they do? They would pour it on the ground to make fun. That instead of fulfilling the mitzvah of pouring it on the Mizbeach, they would make fun because they're saying, we don't believe in this. It's not in the Chumash explicitly. And what does the Gemara say? How did the Jewish people react to that? What did they do to these Kohanim? You know what they did? What they do? They took their asrogim and they threw it at the Kohanim who did that. Now you'd ask me, why did they throw their asrogim? So if you'd ask me, I'd say, you know, if you have to throw something, that would be the best thing to throw. Unless it's too expensive, but you know, they threw it at them. Rav Soloveitchik gave a unique interpretation. He said, no, it's not just a practical thing, you throw a ball at somebody. Rabbi Reichman has in a sefer from Rav Soloveitchik that the idea is, he's saying like this, you don't believe in Torah Shebal Peh, you don't believe in Torah Shebal Peh, that's why you're making fun of the water. But you know what? Without Torah Shebal Peh, we wouldn't know that the Pri Eitz Hadar is an esrog. It could be a lemon, it could be an orange, right? It could be anything. Any citrus fruit of sorts that looks nice. But the fact that it's an esrog, that's the Rambam writes, that's because that's Perushim Mekubalim. That's our tradition that we have that this is that the Pri Eitz Hadar that's in the Chumash is referring to an esrog. And in fact, getting back to Hanukkah, the Gemara says that all the shemen was tamei, it also was a tumah midrabanan of tumah zovin, whatever that you know was some type of rabbinic form of tumah, to show that Mesfarim explained that really all the shmanim might have been good on a Torah level. It was only a rabbanan tumah, Tosfos says, and Hashem therefore had to make a miracle so we would be able to fulfill the rabbinic law. To show, and that's the the whole concept of Torah She Bal Peh stems also from the whole necessity. Some of the Svarim write that also comes from the necessity of the whole miracle was because Hashem wanted to show to give His approval of the Torah She Bal Peh, and therefore the only reason that the necessity of the miracle was only that the Shemen that was Tamei Midrabanan would be able to be used. And let me, before we maybe discuss some halacha, let me just tell you one other good idea. So we've said many times that the core of Torah Shebal Peh is the Yud Gimel Midosh Sheh Torah the Dreshes Behen, is the 13 principles. And in various Svarim, the Magid of Mezrich and others say that what? That the Yud Gimel Midosh Sheh Torah the Dreshes Behen are parallel to what? The Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim. Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim. And that's why when what's the first of the Yud Gimel Midos HaTorah Dreshes Behem? It's Kal V'Chomer. Right? And what's the first of the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim? So it's a whole discussion. Some say it's Hashem, Hashem, Hashem. But the Arizal says, you know what it is? Kel. Kel. Because Hashem, Hashem is just crying out. But the first one is the meat of Kel, Rachel, Mechanun, etc. So that's how the Beis Hoster explains that when Moshe Rabbeinu prayed for Miriam, what was his prayer? Kelna, Rifan Allah, and what was Hashem's response? With a Kal V'Chomer. If you look in the Psukim there in the Parshas Bahaloscha. Because Hashem is saying, if you want to bring the Midah of Kel, then you darshan a Kal V'Chomer, and that brings the Midah of Kel. That's why the Speaker Rebbe writes, Shofar, right? Well, if I say shofar, so what do you say in your mind? What's in your association? Shofar? Rosh Hashanah. And isn't it surprising that nowhere in the Torah, in the context of Rosh Hashanah, do we have the word shofar? Is that interesting? So where do we have the word shofar in Chumash? Not by Rosh Hashanah. Where? Where? Yom Kippur. Where? What parsha, first of all? What parsha? What parsha? Parsha's Bahar. And Yom Kippur shel Yovel. Right, the Jubilee year, Yom Kippur, it says, right, you have Shofar, Chua, Bacholish, Shvi, Be'asor, Lacholish, right? So we have to learn out Gzeira Shava from a comparison between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur Shel Yovel. Why? Because Gzeira Shava is comparable to which of the Yud Gimel Midosh HaTorah and Rosh Hashanah? If Kal V'Chomer is Kel, so then what's Gzeira Shava? It's number two. So what's after Kel? Rachum. Because we blow the shofar for Rosh Hashanah, what do we want to do? We want to have the Rachmonis of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So dafka, it wasn't written in the Torah, the word shofar by Rosh Hashanah, that we have to learn it out from Gezer Shava, from what? Yom Kippur Shel Yovel, to be Ma'orer, the what? The Midah of Rachum. And it's interesting, Sefer Zichron Shmuel explains that if you look in Chumash, what parsha is the Yud Gimel Midosh HaRachamim? Which parsha? Kisisa. And where does the concept that we can't write down Torah Shebal Peh? the Torah Shebichsav has to be Bichsav, while Peh is Al Peh, also in Parshas Kisisa. Because it says, Ksov Luchas Ha'Dvarim Ha'ilah, Ki Al Pi Ha'Dvarim Ha'ilah Parasi Yitcha Brit Ves Yisrael, the Torah Sheb Al Peh has to be Al Peh, it can't be written down. That's also in what? In Kisisa. To show, says the Zivon Shmuel, that parallel between the Yud Gimel Midas Shatar Nidushus for him and Yud Gimel Midas Sarachim. And the idea being, I think what the Musa Haskell is, that when a person learns Torah, whatever Torah you're learning Chumash, Midrash, whatever you're learning, it has to make us better people. It has to, in other words, if we're involved in learning Torah, of whatever Torah we're learning, that's going to make us people who are more attuned to being a rachum, bechanun, and the erech apayim, as mahu afata, to bring the midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of compassion and chesed and all these things. Because if it's just learning for the sake of intellectual knowledge, so then that's not what the main, that's not what Torah is about. Torah is about learning the intellectual knowledge and then internalizing it in ourselves to become people who are, you know, high-standing people of great integrity and great compassion and great patience and all the attributes that we read about of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which hopefully should be employed in our own lives and our own behaviors. And that's the Yontif of Chanukah. It's the Yontif of Torah Shebal Peh. But Torah Shebal Peh is that special relationship we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And, it has to be, and that means we have a special amuna with Hashem, a special relationship, and we realize that whatever we have in life is only because HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides to give it to us. Nothing is a given. Everything we have, we should be thankful for, and that Chanukah is a yontif of hodah, of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, so it's a yontif of hodah. Remember the year, a couple of years ago, when it actually fell out on Thanksgiving. So it's a yontif of hodah, and hodah, Rav Huttner writes in one of his svarim, a beautiful idea. What does hodah mean? It means two things. Hodah means to thank, but what else does hodah mean? To admit. Like, hodah's balled in, you're admitting. Because they're connected. Because when I thank you, I'm admitting that I can't do everything by myself. I need your help. I need your assistance. A person who's a Baal Gaiva, he doesn't want to admit that he needs other people besides himself. That's what Rabbi Jane Schachter was speaking to Shabbos in Yeshiva. He pointed out the practice of having a vav at the beginning of every column in the Sefer Torah, to have a vav. And he said the significance is, the vav means vav, and, meaning I can't do it alone. I need you. I need someone else. I need, and that's the idea of love. Anivas and as much as we need other people, we need the Ribbono Shel Olam to be present in our lives and realize that that's ultimately going to be the way that you'll be successful in life, is to daven to Hashem, to believe in Hashem, to bless Hashem. When all things we aspire to in life, of course we're supposed to put in our own efforts, but without HaKadosh Baruch Hu's help, we won't come to fruition. And that's what Chanukah is all about. We did our own. We found the Pach. We had that one Shem, and we did our effort. And now the rest is the Nes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's the Torah Shebal Peh, that tradition, that special relationship that we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when we, you know, Chanukah, you know, you light the menorah, it doesn't take so long. But these ideas are very lofty ideas of believing. And the primacy of Torah Shebal Peh is the primacy of these ideas, of that special relationship we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and to realize that learning the Chumash without, like Dr. Asher Siv used to say, learning Chumash without the Torah Shebal Peh is a closed book. We wouldn't understand anything. We wouldn't understand what an Esrog is, what Lulav is, what Tefillin is. We have a tradition of the Torah Shebal Peh of how to interpret each and every pasuk in Chumash. And as opposed to the Karaim and other sects, they didn't subscribe to this. But if you don't subscribe to Torah Shebaal Peh, then the Torah Shebaal Sav is, Dr. Siever always says, an empty, is a closed book. And Bez Hashem, that's the, opens up the whole Torah to us, is the Yontif of Hanukkah and the Torah Shebaal Peh. Okay, if there's any questions that anyone wants to ask, any the halacha of Hanukkah, we could do that for a couple of minutes. The women are also chayiv in Neiris Chanukah, just like men are chayiv in Neiris Chanukah. There are different traditions when a woman is married, whether they should light also, but especially when you're not married, so you certainly have, and maybe even when you are married, is you have this idea of this mitzvah of lighting, and the Rambam says that Chanukah is a mitzvah chaviv and ma'od. He doesn't say that by other mitzvahs. But Chanukah, the Rambam writes, it's a mitzvah chaviv and ma'od. It's very special. And perhaps all the ideas that we mentioned this evening are reasons to understand why the Yontif is so special. Mm-hmm. Yeah?
Is it a mitzvah to have a
suit on
Chanukah,
or
should you go out of your way to wash on Chanukah?
So technically speaking, the Shulchan Aruch says it's really not a chiyuv, but it's a nice thing, and especially if you sing the Shiras v'Sishbachas, Tokadosh Baruch Hu, so then it becomes like a Sudas Mitzvah. Give me the scenario.
It's a Moshe Shabbos. I was somewhere for Shabbos, and I'm coming back to the door. So should I light at the door when I get back, or should I light where, like I'm saying,
right,
daylight?
So I think Moshe Sternberg writes it safe. It depends. Like if you're there for Shabbos, as soon as Shabbos is over, you're out of there. So then you can light when you come back. But if you still plan to stay there and be along the Malka and schmooze with your friends, you're not going back right away, then I think what Moshe Sternberg says is preferable to light where you were for Shabbos, even though you're not sleeping there that night. That would be a good distinction. Okay, thank you all for coming.
Thank you.
I'm going to look at the comments.